you in the 06010.
Welcome into Fantasy Focus. It is Wednesday, October 18th. Today's show is presented by Geico. Guys, insurance can be hard. That's why Geico makes it easy with the 24/7 claim service and on-the-go policy info in the app. It is easy to Geico. I am joined, as I am by every Wednesday, by my friends Field,
every time.
By my friends Field Yates and MLC Punk. How are you doing today, guys?
MLC Punk. Yeah, is that where we're going with it?
Can we explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, well, yeah, have you ever seen the movie SLC Punk, Salt Lake City Punk? Well, your name is Michael Lester Clay.
That's so correct, MLC. Junior, though.
Oh, that's right.
MLCJ Punk.
You're right. If you were a wrestler, though, I would want you to be called MLC Punk, just for the record.
Okay, fair.
Your middle name is Lester?
That's right.
I did not know that. My father-in-law's name is Lester. Every time I see you, I give you a random middle name. It's one of our little things we do here.
And ask me about my rash?
Yes.
Is that what you were going to ask me? You said you had a question for me.
Yes, I do ask you about the rash op. Is that thing, has that been contained yet?
I still have no good answer for that question.
All right, so two questions. One that you wanted me to ask you about. You are playing through pain today. Explain what the heck. You look like Harry Potter at the moment.
I did my own makeup a little bit. I have like a wound there. You could see it.
Oh,
a little
scratch there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you guys may have saw last night. It kind of went viral, like, that guy on the at the Philly Stadium got hit sticked, got run over. That, I was the fan. I got run over. Went down to Philly last night.
You know what's too bad? The only problem I don't like about that is that it actually rendered my actual question moot. I was going to ask you, now that the Diamondbacks have evened the series after they won last night, how do you feel? Yeah, I was going to say, just to test whether or not you're actually paying attention to the Phillies.
No, that was not me. What actually happened was I came out of my house today and there were... just people rioting because waivers was like a few hours late for some reason. Yes. And they just attacked me, full on attack. Like,
that's so good.
You look like Austin Eckler out there after what you
fighting with Dante Fowler.
Yeah, it was rough. So
I'm glad you brought up the waivers thing because I noticed this morning that a lot of people were disappointed by the fact that they didn't have to have their waivers run at 4 a.m., which I love, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, who actually sees whether you won your waivers at 4 a.m.? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this morning I tweeted a link to yesterday's show, as I try to do multiple times every single day. It's good for brand awareness. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that right after I tweeted it, it started to get a ton of engagement. And I was like,
wow,
that's
people love me
today. Yeah, it must have been a great episode yesterday. Instead, it was about 94 people barking at me. Why haven't my waiver claims processed? We want to let you know we're sorry. Sometimes things happen with the big old machine, and that issue has since been rectified.
Correct.
Your waivers have run.
Okay.
And believe it or not, there were no games played between 4 a.m. this morning and when waivers actually went through a little bit closer to like 8:30 this morning.
Yeah, this is kind of like every week where it's like a player gets ruled out and they're not available for IR
within
20 seconds. And by the way, just to, you know, again, I'll spend like 10 seconds on this, maybe slightly more, but you know, we don't control that, obviously.
We do not.
If a beat reporter reports that a player is probably not going to play, that doesn't mean they're ruled out by a team. So that's why they're not. And a great example of that last week, Tank Dell, right? Everyone wanted Tank Dell on IR because he was rumored to be probably out.
Yeah.
He was questionable by the team, so.
Well, not only that,
13
I mean.
Seconds.
What?
13 seconds.
Oh, you were counting?
Yes, like, but we see this happen.
I would have been 10, but you were.
It happens all the time. There's just too much gray area because if we simply went by what a singular reporter reported, I could, in a moment of chaos, tweet right now that pick a player, make up a random player, Mario
Edwards.
Davidson. He's a real
Mario
player.
Luigi. Yeah.
Mario Luigi, wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts, is out for the next 4 weeks, according to sources. If we just took that and said he's out, like you could do that with anybody.
It
and someone could just run rampant the next thing you know. Everybody could just be making up injuries. Not that many credible reporters would do that, but just there is some gray area. I don't know why we're talking about this, but for those out there who like to complain about it, please stop doing
because
it hurts my feelings.
We're also customers too. We're players as well. Yeah. So I have the same issue. Last year, I was hoping the team would roll out Tank Dell so I could free up a spot. What did I say?
Last year.
Well, I definitely wanted him to roll out last year. Yes. I've been stashing him for years now. That would have been convenient to add a player and, you know, have another option on my bench. It's fine. But again, we're dealing with the same things. We don't control that stuff, but love the passion.
Yes,
love the passion, also it doesn't need to be personal in our mentions because it's out of our hands.
This is one of those things where I know that fantasy managers just want the person to be ruled out before they put in their waiver claim so they can just move someone to their IR and not have to drop a player for waivers. Mm-hmm. I feel like that happens often as well when you get those early returns.
Yeah, got to keep Royce Freeman.
That's just not how it works.
Sometimes I added him in a league decision. Last night. Was that dumb? I was going to say, should I not have done that?
Oh, I saw. Speaking of which, you and I had the exact same bid in the Dynasty League for Zach.
Zach Evans.
Yeah.
Did we really?
Yeah.
So
I got Scott Clark sent me the list today of all of our bids because like everyone had bids in. We had 25. That was our number.
Wow.
Actually, we value him the
same.
You
never go with a very round number or a number that ends in a five or a zero.
Because you study my waiver trends?
Well, so I think I'm assuming that the tiebreaker was who had the inferior record.
Neither of us got him.
Oh, okay.
Someone was like 34, but I saw the whole list and
gotcha.
And
I think thought you and I are like very close in the standings in that league as well, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I have the most points,
top, right?
So there's that.
Okay,
you have the most points only because you played against me that one week and started every good player. I think you're fourth and I'm fifth, right?
In record, yeah.
Yes,
in record, yeah. So I had that very very high variance team.
Anyways, so we should probably talk about the stuff that matters.
Yeah, a little housekeeping
right?
there. We can move on to real
conversation, housekeeping. Guys.
Yeah, Wednesday. We got a lot of time. We get the chance to let our hair down a little bit.
I say that, another story about my head.
That's got to be the number one phrase that it's one of the on the short list of phrases that I use way too much on this show is letting your hair down. Mm-hmm. Let's let her hair down. And the only reason why I'm not going to stop is because I want to do an episode where Daniel actually lets his hair down.
That would be too much. Right now, they just went and put in a bun for me up in makeup. So I got to pull a bunch of pins out in order to get stuff out of here.
Like it might go down to your back.
No, it does go down in the middle of my back. Yeah.
You are one day going to appear in a Harry Potter movie.
I hope so. You're a wizard, Harry.
That was pretty good right there.
Nailed
you know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah.
You have a future, sir.
All right, let's talk about some rankings here. We got a bunch of rankings that we're going to dive into because it is Wednesday, obviously. And by the way, six teams on a bye. I did not feel good about half of the people that I felt like I had to rank in like sort of starter territory this week.
Running back's bad enough the way it is.
It was brutal. So we'll talk about that. We're going to dive right in. Let's start actually with Christian McCaffrey. San Francisco 49ers. Like obviously we are waiting to be able to figure out a little bit more of what's going to happen with him. We don't know whether or not he's going to play or not play.
Yeah.
Game is on Monday Night Football.
Yep. Yep.
So we went out and talked about yesterday, Jordan Mason and Elijah Mitchell, the two guys that you need to add off of waivers. If CMC plays, which is the easy part here, he's the number one running back in football.
Right.
We're all starting him.
Yeah.
If he does not play, which one of these 49ers running backs would you have over CMC?
So we did get a bit of an update yesterday from Adam Schefter, not specific to Week 7, but more that this is not a long-term injury. So it doesn't seem like CMC is going to miss like four games if he does, in fact, miss time. But we're more concerned about Week 7 for right now. If Christian McCaffrey is out on Monday night, if I had to pick a 49er, I would pick Jordan Mason over Elijah Mitchell, despite some of the comments from Kyle Shanahan recently, because I think that Mason has played very capably over the past couple of weeks as that number two running back behind San Francisco. But there's actually three options in this scenario that I think we need to be considering. Mm-hmm. Would you play Elijah Mitchell? Would you play Jordan Mason?
Or
are they both going to play enough that you would prefer not to play either of them, even with six teams on a bye? The answer is that one for me, because this Vikings defense may not be all that good, especially against the pass, but they've been pretty frisky against opposing running backs so far this season. So while if thrust into choosing one, it's Jordan Mason for me, I would prefer not to play either of them, Mike.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Cardinals are a great example of this from last week, a situation maybe you want to avoid because they are going to use two, maybe three running backs. Tyrion Davis Price, third round pick last year, could also be involved here. I agree. I would give a slight edge to Mason if I had to pick from the group, but we haven't seen him in a lead back role. We have seen Elijah Mitchell
in a
feature back role at times in place of Christian McCaffrey. This backfield is number one in touches among running backs this season. Obviously, that's a Christian McCaffrey stat, but there's potential volume here, so I can understand in deeper leagues wanting to throw a dart at one of these guys with six teams on a bye.
Bless you.
I would avoid, by the way, one running back has reached 14 fantasy points against Minnesota. That was DeAndre Swift. And he had like, 30 touches that week.
Right.
He needed that just to get there. So, I'm with you. I would try to avoid, now as for how to approach this is what it's tricky because I have McCaffrey in a couple teams as well. Perfect world. I think you probably have two running backs in a flex, right? Perfect world. You have two other running backs. and he's in your flex,
yep.
and then you have, that gives you more options than on Monday night. Could be Juwan Jennings. It could be KJ Osborne. It could be a tight end. It could be, you know, anything. So, I guess it wouldn't be a tight end in that game, but play Minnesota. So that's ideal. Yeah. It gives you more options, receivers, running backs, not necessarily just a running back to fill in. So have a plan in place in case C is ruled out.
However, here's the good news. I don't think a Christian McCaffrey injury is going to be lingering all the way until like Monday, even like Sunday at like 1 p.m. Maybe I'm wrong here. I just think there's way too much interest and the insiders are way too mindful of just how important fantasy football is that I think we'll have a lean at the very least on Christian McCaffrey by the time lineups are due for that 1 p.m. slate on Sunday.
Yeah, I hope you're right. But if he is just questionable and we don't, and it's like, he's probably going to play, at least make sure you have a backup plan. Even if it's just it could be Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
Like just have someone on your roster to fill in, maybe get 5 points, maybe you get zero, but maybe you get five, or maybe Juszczyk scores a rare touchdown. You know, just have a backup plan.
When you said, I hope you're right, like more often than not, when you say that, do you think I'm actually going to be right or not?
I mean, it's a
You can also choose not
coin?
To.
Don't we have that coin?
It's a hope.
No, I think it's over there. Yeah.
Never know. Got it right now.
Yeah. And obviously I'm joking because Field, one of the most reliable.
Yes.
Informative.
Yes. Mr. Reliable.
Awesome people on social and in the reporting business.
Wow. Thank you.
Ethical. All the words.
I was going to say, so is this, are we supposed to pivot to an aggregators conversation right now?
No.
We're having a bit of an aggregators conversation. Also, like, if you're out there listening, you know what you people do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what you people do.
Right. Last night I quote tweeted an awesome interview with Pablo Torre with Michael Schur.
Yeah.
Watched the whole thing. Awesome. Definitely recommend that interview. It was about a show that he created and got canceled.
Ken Tremendous.
Baseball. Ken Tremendous is awesome. Love any show he does. Amazing. So awesome interview. So I retweeted, said it was awesome. Listen to it. I hope they somehow find a way to make that show. And someone was like, whoa, Mike Clay actually said something nice about someone for once. So now I'm going to. So I'm like, oh, wow. I guess I don't
know. You know what?
So
I actually thought about this. I actually know where that, like, I don't agree with that assessment.
I don't either, but I'm going to.
But I know what this stems from is that you have to be the reasonable person on this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you are the person that is like, you know, I'm telling you, vibes are telling me to play this guy. And you're like, yeah, your vibes are good. They have a 12% target share over the past 6 weeks. All right.
I'm so, Buzz Killington. That's me. So, I need a t-shirt with Buzz Killington on it.
I can get you that. Yeah. No, more seriously, you are a very pragmatic mind. And the emotional side of Mike Clay is one that should not be overlooked because the man is full of joy and empathy and care for others and kindness as well.
Thanks.
That's true.
Wow. Yeah. This is a nice show.
This is a great show. Yeah.
I want you to know, just Mike, being nice to each other.
Yeah. Our Michigan men chat doesn't like you very much, though, for what it's worth. We get a lot of Mike Clay.
I'm not in
there.
That chat, so I don't
know. No, I think
this pod. Well, hates
you're not
me when
from
not
Michigan,
it,
so.
Yeah. Right? And you took the Vikings to win.
So did I, though. Division. So I also
that was a bad
we have a separate. That was a second Michigan men chat without you, Field. Trust me.
My worst take was probably too low on the Lions, and just trashing the Rams defense off.
Oh man, they've been so good.
I think I kind of had a point there, but I should have been more. I should have believed more in the coaching there because they have crushed it.
Yeah.
What a job they're doing.
Well, speaking of the Lions, Mike, this is a good transition because you are Mr. Transition here on the show. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions running backs.
Yeah.
Taking on the Baltimore Ravens this week. We're probably not going to see David Montgomery. He has not officially been ruled out yet, but we should plan on him not playing here.
Oh, yeah.
We did not.
So that means you can't put him on IR, by the way.
Exactly.
He has the queue right now, I think.
There's two guys, though, that we're looking here, and it is the pride of Kutztown University.
Yes.
And it is Jahmyr Gibbs, who we are excited to be able to see, hopefully get a healthy workload. How do you, your projections, see this split working out between these two?
Well, Field said in the past that since he's from my alma mater, I have to automatically like him and rank him super high. So
again,
Reynolds
vibes,
RB1. Right? Reynolds RB1.
Vibes. Okay.
It's all about vibes. Could sound vibes. I have Jahmyr Gibbs at 13th in my running back rankings. Reynolds at 31. So deep league flex option for Reynolds. Gibbs, I think, will be featured because that's what we saw in week 3 when Montgomery was out. And I want to talk about that because in that game, he played 59% of the snaps, 17 carries, 80 yards. That was by far his most rushing production. Only had the 2 targets. However, 56% route participation, his usual rate's 43%. So it was just a game where they didn't target the running back. We see that at sometimes. Sometimes Christian McCaffrey gets 3 targets. It's rare, but Austin Eckler, same thing. I think it was just a fluke. So still a lot of involvement in the passing game in terms of running routes. I think he'll bounce back there.
like him. Also, the Ravens have allowed the third highest yards per target to running backs. So actually, it's been a good matchup for running backs as well. So really high in Gibbs, borderline RB1. Again, Reynolds just a deep league flex
if you need him. So remember the part about like really elevating the value of Craig Reynolds because he went to your alma mater?
I'm saying you could start him. I think that's high praise. Yeah,
in a 32-team league, you could start him.
Absolutely.
I see it pretty similarly. The only thing that I'm mindful of this week that I think wasn't as relevant the first time that Jahmyr Gibbs was the starter without David Montgomery is what if Jahmyr Gibbs is like, let's call it 80 to 85% on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Could that mean a decent amount more for Craig Reynolds as opposed to Jahmyr Gibbs? And I know you mentioned he was just 59% of the snaps, but maybe it's like a slightly reduced workload for Jahmyr Gibbs compared to the last time and a little bit more work for Craig Reynolds.
Yeah, it might be interesting to see what they do with that other running back spot too, because Bam Knight's on IR now. Yeah,
he played the last time.
He was there then. Yeah, so we'll kind of see how that plays out. Sometimes you get a tell based on moves the team makes.
Right. Didn't they just sign someone to the practice squad? Mo Ibrahim from...
Is that who it was? Okay.
Had him for a while. And they've also talked about the idea of potentially just using some other weapons within that offense in sort of like a Debo-esque type role in case they don't
have... That would be fun, huh?
Especially with guys like Jameson Williams or Khalif Raymond, who we have known. Like
Amon Ra gets carry sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. So something to be able to look at. I have Craig Reynolds, though, as running back 27, just in case we're looking at which one loves him more than the other.
Right.
You have 31.
Message received.
Daniel loves Detroit more than you love Kutztown, just for the record.
That's how it works. I think that's what it is. All right. Let's move ahead and talk about the Indianapolis Colts. Guys, we've got these Indianapolis Colts running backs, both Jonathan Taylor and Zach Moss, taking on what might be the toughest defense in the NFL right now in the Browns. Cleveland Browns.
Narsty defense.
They are so freaking good. And understanding that we have seen JT started out slow, 10 carries, 10 snaps, I think you said the first week, Mike.
That's right, 10 snaps, 16%.
And then he definitely upped it that second week. Now, this seems like the week where we were talking about, are we going to unleash Jonathan Taylor a little bit more? And how much is that going to help us knowing the defense that they're playing?
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll see another uptick. I think this is kind of going in a reasonable pace so far, limited in his first game back. He had just signed days before. I think it was the day before, right, when that was reported. Yep. Or whatever. It was certainly that week. And then an uptick last week. He actually led them in carries with 8. He also had 6 targets and had 65 total yards in that game. 43% of the snaps, a big uptick from 16% the week prior. I think we get another step forward, maybe to 60% this week. And that's enough, again, with 6 teams on a bye to rank him as a mid-range RB2. That's where I have him. I'm 14th in my rankings. I will say this. You mentioned the matchup. 0 running backs have reached 14.5 fantasy points against the Browns this year. So this is a tough matchup. And I think it's going to be hard for both of these guys to be fantasy relevant this week. So the truth of the matter is you probably have to pick one. And I'm going to pick Taylor.
A little bit of Colts news forthcoming in about 30 seconds. If there's a way that Jackson can do this, edit it so that like for the next, I don't know, 30 seconds that I talk about the Colts running backs, he actually just dulls my mic and no one can hear me, that will be great. Because I think at some point Jonathan Taylor is going to be the lead back in this Colts backfield.
Yeah.
I thought it would happen last week. He was sort of the leader, as Mike just alluded to. But I'm talking about the guy who like just got $42 million. People are probably sick of me saying that fact, but I keep thinking to myself, when you pay all that money to this guy, you probably want to get some return on your investment, right? And yet Zach Moss just keeps holding on for dear life and proving that he is a legit, legit running back in the NFL. Get that guy to Arizona right now is what I keep telling myself. So I have Moss ranked as RB22, still good enough to be a starter in a lot of leagues. And Jonathan Taylor is RB14 for me this week. So I'm still starting Taylor once again. I don't know that I can say so confidently given the matchup and the fact that, of course, he hasn't been that busy over the first 2 weeks of being back.
This is so gross that we have 2 running backs inside the top 25 against what might be the best defense in the NFL. That's what it looks like with 6 teams on a bye right now.
Yeah, I was working on a dynasty ranking update today and a running back, man, it's just...
It's tough.
Who's RB1 for dynasty rankings?
Bijan.
Duff. Okay. Yeah. Who's RB2 then? That's probably the more interesting question.
RB2 second now. It's McCaffrey. Gibbs is still in the conversation. I mean, he was an early first round pick.
Sure.
Who else is in there? Who am I missing?
Travis Etienne. Is he up there that
ETNs,
high?
Yeah, I think of him like 6th right now. I'm missing somebody obvious. Who am I missing? Taylor's up there.
Saquon.
Brees Hall.
That's Brees Hall. There we go.
Okay. Called by Pulse there. Yes. Slim Brees Hall, I think I have 3
right now. Yeah. Okay. By the way, the Colts news is that they just announced Anthony Richardson will be done for the season with that season-ending shoulder surgery. So,
speaking of an interesting dynasty,
yes,
player right now.
Yes, we were talking about, was that yesterday? We were talking about Anthony Richardson. Yep. Like, just get ready for the takes going into next season on Anthony Richardson's ranks. So, just to put a pin in it all again, RB 14 for Jonathan Taylor, RB 22 for Zach Moss. But I continue to shout out Zach Moss for holding value over the past 2 weeks. He has certainly proved a lot of people, including myself, wrong, thinking that he was just a throwaway when he was traded away from Buffalo to Indianapolis in exchange for Nyheim Hines.
Yeah, Bills, it's just that Bills backfield. You know, as good as the pass offense has been, it's been high scoring, pass heavy. They're just not getting the most out of their running backs. In fact, last week, I'm sure we'll get to this in the next, you know, two and a half shows, but a lot more Latavius Murray last week. So they're not really getting the most out of James Cook there either. They didn't get the most out of Devin Singletary.
I don't need any of that. Yeah. And this isn't an anti-Latavius Murray, but like in fantasy football, I don't need Latavius Murray taking touches away from James Cook here. Like let's just sort of funnel those touches to the young guy that we're excited about.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we want, but again,
that's not going to happen.
Another guy's value getting crushed by a committee. It's tough. These days.
Without having Kyren Williams,
some updates there, by the way,
this week. So talk about that field.
So Jeremy Fowler reporting earlier today that it could be a multi-week absence for Kyren Williams. Just doing the look ahead because we are now at the point of the schedule where you can kind of look ahead to incorporate buys. Week 7 is this week. Week 8, 9, the Rams going to bye in week 10. Mm-hmm. Sounds like there's a possibility Kyren could be back after their bye in week 11.
Wow.
I thought there was a chance this was just like a 1 week thing. Sounds like it could be closer to a month for Kyren Williams. Same thing happened to him last year, right? First play of his NFL career on special teams, suffers a high ankle sprain, missed, I think it was between 4 and 6 weeks, never actually gets back on track. Another ankle injury for Kyren Williams. It's going to be a while before we see him back on the field, it sounds like.
By the way, retroactive big W to Adam Schefter. He was all over that one.
Crushed that one.
All over that one. You know, he came back last year and didn't make much of an impact. I mean, at that point, they were just running Cam Akers into the ground. But, I mean.
Schefter had Elijah Mitchell two seasons ago. Mm-hmm. Kyren Williams. He's had a hand, Tutu Atwell this year.
Yeah.
He's had, I mean.
I went all his sleepers.
Believe it or not, Adam Schefter knows this.
Actually, yeah,
who would have thought? Not that we doubted him, but.
With that thought field, and just in case, I mean, I realize we're talking about here in week 7.
Oh, baby.
So let's just talk week 7 right now.
Yeah.
Which one of these running backs would you rather have, Zach Evans or Royce Freeman?
Yeah. So let's talk principal parties involved here for a second. Okay. Before we start doing the analysis, there are four names you need to know. You just mentioned Zach Evans.
Yep.
A rookie draft pick out of Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Royce Freeman, the journeyman who has actually been playing for the Rams. So he's like perhaps the most experienced of the players that are actually involved right now. Miles Gaskin just signed off of the Vikings practice squad yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daryl Henderson is back to the practice squad. So a lot of what I said at the beginning of the show about the 49ers backfield applies right here, right now to this Los Angeles Rams backfield. My preference would be to not start someone. But if I had to roll the dice, my current roll is on Zach Evans.
Yes, it is very much a dice roll. This is a guy that lost out to Ronnie Rivers and has been a non-factor so far this season. The reasons to like him are his college tape and efficiency numbers, outstanding. Like, he was electric. He was a big-time playmaker. However, he had like the lowest pass blocking rate in this class. He was not used in that area. I say the most valuable player on this Rams offense is the quarterback. You got to keep him protected.
Sure. It's a great point. And that might be a Royce Freeman factor right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something to consider. Also,
what a great point that is. Yeah.
Yeah. So also, thank you.
It's trying to be nice again.
It's a nice show today. Kyren Williams, the reason he's been so great in fantasy is volume, right? He's playing like 90% of the snaps. Mm. The Rams are only 16th in touches by running backs this season. It's just that he has had like 90% of them. That's why he's producing at a high level. Also, I mentioned this, I believe it was on Monday, only 2 targets for Kyren Williams in games since Cooper Kupp has returned.
Yeah.
So this isn't necessarily like, oh man, someone's stepping into that Kyren role.
Yep.
Maybe they will. Maybe Zach Evans plays 90% of the snaps. But I think we're looking at a committee here with the first three guys you mentioned. Darrell Henderson hasn't been with a team all year, although Kareem Hunt wasn't either, and he stepped right into a role.
So Henderson also fell out of favor, like in a pretty notable way. Yeah. Yeah. Trivia for you. How many players saw a target last week for the Rams?
6.
Is that what? Kyren had 1, right? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4?
Five.
Right in the
hat tip, Kevin Pulsifer right there. Five players.
Only five.
Is there a more concentrated passing offense right now?
We love it in fantasy. That we want more of this.
We do. It's why after the dud game, we're still all in on Puka Nacua last week.
So it was the big three receivers, and it was Higbee and
Kyren Williams. Yeah. So that one robust target for Kyren Williams might be good enough for like a 13% target share last week. Mm-hmm. Not literally, but yeah, it's an offense that in the passing game should be fairly predictable week in and week out against Steelers defense.
More of this.
Then you like that matchup, don't you?
Yeah. Passing games. Steelers. Yeah, the matchup is good. They've been struggling. I think they're like top five. Actually, I have it here. Top five in yards per carry allowed. 11th most fantasy points, but the efficiency has been poor. I'm with you. We like that.
The passing game, this I guess, is not quite as good.
Yeah. But still, it's tough to. I'm picking one. I'm taking Evans, but I think they're going to use two, maybe three backs.
A reminder here in week 7, Panthers, Bengals, Cowboys, Texans, Jets, and Titans are all on bye. Ouch. One of the things, Mike, that you had talked about, we got a full screen that we can throw up here. We've been talking about a bunch of running backs that have not really been fantastic so far, except for the 49ers and the Lions. And now we're at a spot where here in week 7, we're going to be starting a bunch of running backs that we're not super thrilled on. Mm. If you have a Miami Dolphins running back, you have been so lucky this year, Mike. Yeah. Talk us through this full screen.
Or skilled if you drafted them. Nice job. I was not as high on Raheem Mostert as I should have been. Total. Or A-Chain for that matter, because he's so tiny, but he's been crushing it.
For those that are listening at home, the full screen is total offensive touchdowns scored by a team this year. Dolphins are first with 30.
This is just the team,
49ers have 22. Bills have and Lions both have 20. And then the Dolphins running backs alone, if they were their own team, would have 19 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. They would have the fifth most touchdowns in the NFL just as that position group.
Yeah, if they had no passing touchdowns, they'd be fourth in the NFL in touchdowns. Miami would. It's incredible.
That unreal.
They're ahead of the Chargers, who had a bye, but they have 15. And the Chiefs. The Chiefs only have 15 offensive touchdowns. That offense is incredible.
Look
Miami,
at them.
I can't wait to see Miami as it gets cooler and they're playing colder games. Because remember, Tua was undefeated through like week 10 last year, and he came back and then did not win another game late in the year. So I'm very curious to see how Miami does. Remember, they're my Super Bowl team, so I'm feeling optimistic, but that's the big test, I think, is when it cools down.
And just the schedule, the teams they play gets a little bit different too.
That too. Right?
If you look at who they have performed, and you play the teams on your schedule. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to Tua. We did our first edition of the MVP voting on ESPN.com. My vote was clearly for Tua, but some of the defenses they have shredded so far this season, the Broncos, the Panthers, the Chargers, that's three of them. They also
lost to the Bills.
They were
New England was
relatively kept in check against the Patriots, and then whoever the last team
that
I'm forgetting.
Games, right? They were both road games, right?
They were both. I don't think weather was really a factor the two. You know, the Patriots defense, not as dominant anymore with injuries and such, but at least, brilliant defensive minds they face so far this season have had much more of an answer than the other four teams who have literally invited them to score like in record bunches. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, I realize we weren't talking about the Dolphins, but looking at their schedule, last five games, they only have one road game.
Dude, they're going to be like 13-4, 14-3.
Is that right
year.
Down the stretch?
Yeah, like down the stretch.
They put an extremely road heavy schedule.
Titans the very end of the season.
Yep.
Titans at home, Jets at home, Cowboys at home, at Baltimore, and then the Bills at home.
That'll be a good stretch, though.
There's
for
some
the
tough games in
that
there.
Bills game, can
them
be huge,
all be basically all being in Miami. I think will give them a little bit of a
boost. That's
going
to be huge.
Crazy.
I was thinking about that on the drive in because Miami does not want to travel to Buffalo and in the playoffs.
Nobody wants to travel.
No one does, but I mean, you don't want to go to Kansas City. Certainly, you don't want to go to Buffalo. That's going to be huge for them to get home ice advantage.
I was just thinking about this. Like most people, when they're driving into work, probably think about stuff that's like a lot more normal than we do. It's on the drive into work. Oh, yeah. It's like, I'm thinking about Kyren Williams' target share this upcoming week. Mike's like, I'm thinking about the Dolphins' chances of repeating their offensive success in bad weather conditions, potentially in Buffalo, maybe New York in mid-January, right? Like most people are probably thinking about who's my favorite character in Succession? Or what's the next great show on TV?
Yeah, whatever show you just watched last night. You're going back through what happened.
Yeah. What should I have for dinner tonight or something?
10 to midnight last night, I was going through all 32 defenses and updating snap counts and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's what we do at this time of year. That's just...
Nerd alert! I was going to say. Microphone...
5% of our people play in IDP leagues. They're happy right now.
That's right.
Okay?
I was going to say.
I'm here for you.
Sometimes you can just leave some stuff unsaid.
You don't need to tell
me. Look, I'm grinding. I'm here for the people, okay? You're playing an IDP league. You're welcome, okay?
Hey.
Got picked up the right guy.
If we're here for the people, let's talk about these Vikings wide receivers.
Yeah, let's rip through.
Justin Jefferson last week, and I didn't feel quite as good about these Vikings wide receivers. They just didn't really, like, they didn't need to do as much.
That was a big thing. They did not need to do nearly as much.
So when you're looking at them this week, are you back in, feeling confident and comfortable in spite of what was last week's game for Jordan Addison? I know he got in the end zone, but I expected a little bit more volume.
Wide receiver 23 for me this week is Addison. Yes, the matchup was difficult because they play against the 49ers, who, if you look at where they rank in terms of opposing wide receivers fantasy points, they're 16th, so right there in smack dab in the middle. But obviously, the kind of defense that, like, if Kirk Cousins is completely under ambush all night, would not surprise you whatsoever. But the important stuff is that last week, on the 33 dropbacks by Kirk Cousins, Jordan Addison ran a route on 32 of those 33 dropbacks.
So
they're throwing
Osborne,
the football. Yep, Osborne, the exact same number of routes in terms of dropbacks. So when they're going to throw the football, it's going to be these two guys on the field a bunch. Addison's way too talented to not have a legitimate role week in and week out. So last week was the second fewest passing attempts in the six games that Kirk Cousins has played so far this season. Wow. I'm in on Addison. I've got Osborne a little bit lower because I think Addison is the better bet to score a touchdown or have a big play.
Yeah. The reason the Niners are mid-pack against wide receivers is because they face the fifth most targets among wide receivers, but they've allowed the sixth lowest yards per target. So they're very good defensively, as we know, but teams are trailing them and have to throw the ball a lot. This happens to a lot of really good teams. So that works into the favor of Minnesota because they like to throw the ball. They're trailing often. They're not afraid to just wing it around. I believe they're still the only team without a rushing touchdown this year. That plays right in the hands of Addison. So
rushing touchdowns for the Vikings.
Yeah, I believe they're the only team left. I think Giants scored one, so I think they are the only team left. So, So Addison, I'm just inside my top 20, and Osborne hasn't hit 12.5 fantasy points in a game this year. But when you're on the field for every single play, he had the same target share last week as Jordan Addison. He's still a viable flex option.
Maybe the Giants forgot that they had actually scored a rushing touchdown at the end of the first half on Sunday night. They were like, we got to get in for one, finally, right? Mm-hmm. That's why they ran the football rather than trying to throw the football.
Actually, did Breida have? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about the other team.
No, Breida has scored a touchdown. That's correct.
Yeah, so anyway, point being, I think Minnesota, only team left, hasn't done it.
Even though they're taking on the 49ers, it feels like, maybe not Kirk Cousins, but like we're starting everyone else here. Alexander Mattison is going to be a start with six teams on a bye. You're starting both of these wide receivers.
Mattison's been top 24 every week but one.
TJ Hockenson is going to be a start here, so it's going to be one of those things. Start your Vikings. In spite of the fact that you're playing the 49ers, just don't feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. Like this is how it works sometimes.
Hockenson, 8 targets on 33 dropbacks last week. Mm-hmm. It's a hell of a target share there. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of target share, how about Drake London?
Yeah.
We saw Drake London look fantastic last week.
Steelers have no rushing touchdowns, by the way.
Steelers?
No rushing touchdowns?
Yeah.
I'll tell you
what. Really? So there's, so that's it. So it's the Steelers and the Vikings.
And the Vikings.
Got it. Okay.
Wow. Right. Hat tip to Pulse right there.
Good call. Yep.
I mean, if you think about it, that actually is kind of weird because Najee's been dominant this year. Oh, wait. Never mind.
Yeah. I don't even with six teams on a bye, and I don't even think I have him ranked as a starter.
You do not. Confirmed.
This was one of the questions that I get the most, to be honest, is like, can I drop Najee Harris? Is Najee Harris
droppable?
That's
a tough drop.
I keep telling people the answer is no because he's still too talented and nothing happens, like if that offense turns it around. But like,
you can put him in timeout, though.
You cannot play him. Absolutely. Just bench him. I understand.
Just put him on the bench. Like, what you need to do is like, you need to have some honest conversations with Najee.
Oh, yeah. Like we did with Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Just let's go. It didn't work so well last week. Right. I guess it did. He finished quarterback 7. But no, more seriously, like you put him on the bench and you have a couple conversations during the week, right? Like, and they got to be positive. You have to figure out what kind of player is he. See the kind of player that thrives off of telling you that he's like not good enough, or you telling him he's not good enough. Like, is he the kind of guy that gets motivated by the criticism, or is he a power positivity guy? Mm. And that's your job as the manager. You got to figure these things out, right? You got to be able to tell, can Najee respond if I go in there and rip him one? Or does he need me to remind him, first round pick, had more targets than any other running back as a rookie?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was outstanding as a rookie. Like,
he's got a great
smile.
That can
be you.
Yeah. His eyes are good.
You want to fire him up? You know what you do? Call him Najee. Oh, that's how you get them fired up right there. We're to be clear, you're talking to your screen here. Yes, Do not tweet at Najee Harris. Dude, leave the man alone. He's trying his hardest.
Please do not tweet at Najee Harris. All right, let's talk about Drake London, though, Field. Okay. After last week's game, we've seen Desmond Ridder do some things slinging the football.
Yeah.
Does this mean that you feel comfortable trusting Drake London here this week?
Over the past 5 weeks, he is 15th in the NFL with 42 targets. Yeah. That part is good. The question is just how much you trust this passing offense in a game in which you think that they're going to be able to play it how the Falcons want to play it. Right, the past two games, the things have gotten away from them. Right, they have all of a sudden had to play games where they were throwing the football a ton and sort of unexpectedly, by the way. Like, I would have thought against the Commanders, Sam Howell would not have had three early touchdown passes, and this would have been a 20-17 game. What is your confidence that the Bucs will have a massive lead against the Falcons? If it's high, you should feel pretty good about Drake London. If it's lower, and I think it's a little bit lower personally, then you're going to have a hard time jamming Drake London into your lineup as a lock, just because we have seen that every time you think you can trust this Falcons offense, they revert back to what they were. Or even if they do throw the football a decent amount, Kyle Pitts gets 8 targets, Jonnu Smith gets 7 of them, Bijan gets 5, Matt Collins gets a random 4, and you're like, oh, wait. Drake London, despite the fact that they threw the ball 37 times, had 4 targets. Mm-hmm. I've got him as wide receiver 32, so not exactly totally confident in him yet.
I'm with you. I mean, 8 targets per game since the week 1 dud, when he had no catches on one target. Back-to-back top 20s. He had a career high in passing yards last week, and actually, or receiving yards last week. A touchdown or 70-plus yards in 4 of his last 5 games as well. So he's been productive enough that you feel fine starting him. But you're right. I mean, they're not as run heavy as last year, but game script adjusted, they're still the run heaviest team in the NFL. It's not as balanced as I thought it was. But again, it's not as bad as it was last year as well. Also, again, I made the same point you just did on Monday, which is, you know, I feel better about them trailing because of what we saw against Washington. That was a team we thought they would control the game or be competitive. Yep. They were not. I think this will be a close enough game with Tampa Bay, but honestly, we're just kind of hoping they're trailing. Yeah. And that's what we want.
That's sort of where it's at for me, because both of these defenses are really good against the run, right? Tampa and Atlanta have done really good at shutting down fantasy running backs. I think Atlanta is allowed the fifth fewest.
Third.
Tampa's the sixth fewest. Is it third? Okay.
I don't know. I mean,
anyway,
it's close.
They're in there. They're both fantastic. So
I said that so
case,
confidently that you believe me.
I did.
Pretty sure it's third.
But looking at it, if I look at this, I am worried that Bijan is not going to run the ball as effectively as I want to, in spite of the fact they're going to run against him, just because of the fact that Tampa is good against the run. So I'm hoping, because of that, actually, that we do see more passing game work here. Mm-hmm. Because in just watching the Detroit Lions, they could not run the ball effectively, and I realized they didn't have David Montgomery against this Tampa defense. That was the thing that they did, is they shut down that running game. So I'm just curious how this is going to work out. I also have Drake London as wide receiver 31. I don't feel all that confident. A lot of the same things that you said, Field, I feel, but this one is going to be interesting for me.
One thing I'll say about Bijan, though, is that even if your expectations are lower, like, you're still starting Bijan.
Of course.
Like, because you can have 7 targets in the passing
game.
It's
the idea that I don't want them to just do, like, I don't want them to hand the ball off 30 times for 1.3 yards per carry, and then that's the way that the Falcons just want to play this game.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The guy that benefits if they're going to be ahead in this game, if they get up like 10-0 early and they're protecting a lead,
is Tyler Allgeier.
Don't say that out loud.
He's the one. I mean, he's the guy. We saw it in week 1. Yeah. But if they're trailing, he's the guy that has the big swing in usage. So. Yep.
Mike, is Zay Flowers the pass catcher that you want for the Baltimore Ravens? And I say that even understanding that Mark Andrews is there, but Zay Flowers has been getting volume from Lamar Jackson.
He might be the receiver we want from this draft class this year, too. We'll see how that kind of shakes out.
Totally agree.
Quentin Johnson hasn't done much yet. Jordan Addison and Flowers have both been really good. I mean, you have like Tank Dell. Like, there's a guy's kind of down the list. Our boy Cedric Tillman someday.
We forget about Puka Nakua because he was so late
Puka
on
Nakua
that list.
Is, like, that's a good call. That's
Puka
good call.
Probably be the one. Yeah.
But Zay Flowers, anyway, are you trusting him here against these Detroit Lions in week 7?
Yeah. Yes, I am. I have him 17th in my rank. He's probably the highest I've been on him all season long. Under 18 points in every game. So we haven't seen the big breakout game, but he scored his first touchdown last week. He has 8 or more targets in 4 games, including each of the last 2. And he's had a pretty high floor. He's had 48-78 yards in every game so far this season, 28% target share. And again, your Lions, pretty good. Means you have to throw against them. They've allowed their 12th most fantasy points allowed to receiver. So not like poor, but they give up points because teams have to throw against him. So I like him a lot.
Have you seen the target distribution for Zay Flowers and like the route charting for Zay Flowers this year?
No, I have not.
It's a lot of either like 50-yard bombs down the field
really?
Or passes that are caught behind the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
Okay. So when you're talking about him not having that big boom game yet, it's because what do those two things do? When you're throwing the football a ton down the field, much higher variance, like the chances of actually completing those passes is pretty darn low. Mm-hmm. When you're throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage, you might pick up several catches, but you might also pick up very few yards. So it's like, when he has a game in which those two things mesh positively together, mm-hmm. he will crack Yanteen fantasy points. It could well be this Sunday. I've got him as wide receiver 14. Love me some safe flowers.
Kind of sounds like Christian Watson a little bit. A lot of Hail Marys to him, but also know
that you're allowed to say that name in front of Daniel.
Oh, anymore. Is that right?
Yeah.
No, well, once he makes it inside the top 25, you can start talking about him.
Where was he last week? He got a horse collar before he ran into the end zone. That's tough.
That was 2 weeks ago.
The way you just described that, though, about Zay Flowers makes me think of, I realize, a different sport, but like sounds like the James Harden of the NFL, where it's
all
like
threes and layups.
It's all threes or layups. There's nothing in between. It's like, I'm going to catch these high efficient, like right at the line of scrimmage, or I'm going to have these deep shots where like it's going to pay off big time.
Who will James Harden be playing for this season?
I don't even care.
Okay. I don't know. What sport does he play?
About that?
Mike.
Just kidding. That's a joke.
I love you. I love you. All right, let's talk about Josh Palmer. Guys, we've been trying to make Josh Palmer a thing. Last year, mm-hmm. we tried to make Josh Palmer a thing while Keenan mm-hmm. Allen and Mike Williams yeah. were out. And he was fine, mm-hmm. but he didn't really like progress to the spot that we were hoping he was going to in this Chargers offense. Over 10 fantasy points each of the last 2 weeks. He is getting volume from Justin Herbert yeah. Field. Are you trusting him here in week 7 against the Kansas City Chiefs? This should be a game where they score 100 points, right?
Outside my top 30, it should not be a game in which they score 100 points because the Chiefs all of a sudden are a defensive team.
Yes, mm-hmm. they are.
The Chiefs are playing excellent defense this entire season. They have been sort of sputtering relative to their own expectations on offense. And it feels like other than week 1, every time we've assumed the Chargers are going to play a shootout game, it's like, all right, 20-17 against the Cowboys with the last second field goal to win the game, right? So I've got him outside my top 30. Palmer has been in this absolutely incredible role now way too frequently and not actually paid off for me to say to myself, like, when he is in the Keenan Allen or Mike Williams role, it means guaranteed fantasy start. So I don't know. It's just been like we've seen way too much of him falling short for me to feel like, yes, even in a week with six teams on a bye, have to start him.
I somewhat agree, but also I feel like he looks a little better this year. Like he's showing up
touchdown called back last week.
Yeah. And it is even without that touchdown, yeah. it's shown up in the stat line, 4 for 66 and a touchdown, 3 for 77 and 4 for 60 in his last three games. Not earth shattering, mm-hmm. but that's decent production. Also 7 or more targets and 10 plus fantasy points in 3 straight games. So especially with 6 teams out, that's a guy that's at least in the wide receiver 3 conversation. But to your point, yeah, Chiefs 7th fewest fantasy points allowed, the 2nd lowest yards per target. It's really interesting. The reason that they have like big question marks at receiver and you know they're going with McKinnon and Pacheco in the backfield is they haven't really had to feel like they have to invest in those positions because they have Patrick Mahomes. It's been going into the O-line and especially the defense. It's where like all their draft capital has gone and that defense is really good. It kind of reminds me of like the Brady era Patriots where Ooh. Quietly the defense was just so good all the time, but everyone, no one cared. It was all about Tom Brady and Randy Moss and Wes Welker.
You're not allowed to say those things right now, Mike, because we're in this quick tangent, but like we're at this point now where there are questions about the Patriots and the coaching future. Right. Mm-hmm. And much of the narrative, like it's, you know, we live in New England, so we hear a lot of course, Patriots yeah. talk. And I was sitting there at dinner with my family a couple nights ago, and it was this guy and his grandfather. And this, he looked like he was probably like his late 20s, early 30s, was just ripping Belichick to shreds. He hasn't found a good player since 2005. This guy's a bum. He got carried by Brady for 20 years. I'm not sure if I'm doing a good job. I'm from Boston. I can't even do an accent.
That's pretty good.
But it's yeah. like, this guy's an idiot. He's been dragged by Brady's coattails for 20 years. Oh and God. You're just like, you know, two things can be true at once, right? Like Brady yes, can be the best you. Player of all time and Bill Belichick can be the greatest and most accomplished coach of all time. Mm-hmm. The Patriots have been in a rut for like half a decade. There's no yeah. two ways about that. But at the same time, like I'm just go back and look at some of the master strokes personnel wise that team did for over a decade. The Chiefs, I hope we don't one day, if their time comes where Patrick Mahomes is not there and all of a sudden things fall apart. I don't want this to be that all that mattered was Patrick Mahomes and not the brilliance of Andy Reid and mm-hmm. the front office in Kansas City. I'm just like, I'm getting about 12 years ahead of the curve on that take.
Yeah, the easy comeback there is that Andy Reid was so good with Philly too, so he's done it with lots of quarterbacks, lots of teams. But my response to the Patriots thing, just really quick, is you know, there's a lot of elite quarterbacks that have been in this league. There's a lot of elite coaches in this league, and they don't win 7 Super Bowls. Exactly. Like when those 2 come together, that's when you win 7 Super Bowls, right?
Everybody tells you that Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback ever. How many has he got? 1. Okay, yeah.
1.
Right? It just, anyways, we digress.
I'm with you there. But again, no one talks about how good their defense has been, even post-Brady.
Yeah. This is one of those things, just as a Lions fan.
You're like...
I'm like, guys, you got to have some freaking perspective. I know, like, seriously, you do not understand how good you had it. But anyways all right, so that's it on Josh Palmer.
I like our Wednesday shows.
Our Wednesday shows are fun to
me. Let me save some rants. Just a couple things to get out. Hopefully no one minds.
Yeah, wait till you guys hear my thoughts on the Dodgers next Wednesday.
Oh, that's so good.
I've got some takes.
All right, we got some tight end talk coming up in just a minute. First. Field, we are going to pay some bills.
Yeah, so we are, Daniel,
with our friends over at Geico.
I'm going to find my sheet. It is right here. Ooh. Home, auto, prize, sports memorabilia, whatever you need to protect, Geico can help get you covered. And with the award-winning Geico mobile app, you can get 24/7 claim support and on-the-go policy access. It's easy. Go to Geico. Go to geico.com today.
Hey, college football fans, I'm going to let you in on a little secret that will help you win game days this season. Eckrich Smoked Sausage. You're probably asking yourself, you're like, Mike Clay, could it really be that easy?
I love
to get
sausage.
Good sausage? Absolutely it is. Eckrich Smoked Sausage is crafted with the perfect medley of spices for a truly rich, savory taste. They are delicious all by themselves or in any recipe that you can dream up. And if the word recipe sounds like a lot of work, don't worry. Visit Eckrich.com for dozens of simple, mouth-watering recipes, making your tailgating prep a stress-free event. So there you go. Eckrich Smoked Sausage is the secret to winning game days. You can thank me later. Visit Eckrich.com for more.
Can I say one thing about my Geico live read?
Go ahead, Field.
It asked about prized sports memorabilia. Yesterday, I made a purchase.
That
is my new favorite sports memorabilia purchase.
Oh, I want to know what this is.
Wait until I bring it to the show next week.
Is this the one you've been saying you wanted for a while or something else?
I don't know that I've mentioned this in any way, shape, or form. I don't know.
Okay. I was thinking of the thing that you were thinking of, which was that.
Okay. But,
the thing, yes.
Yeah, the thing.
This is going to be sweet.
All right. I can't wait. Do you have prize sports memorabilia? Do you have one?
I have a lot. That's my my basement is loaded.
Your
with
basement
stuff from growing
is
up.
Loaded.
It's mostly Mark Martin and Eagle stuff, but
let's say heaven forbid, Mike. But luckily your house is covered by Geico, so it's okay. Your house is on fire. You've got to grab one thing from your basement to be able to save.
Oh man.
Choose between your daughters.
Well, no. Your family is safe. Yeah, your family is safe. The pup is safe. You don't have to worry about that. If you've got one sports memorabilia, is there one that like stands out to you?
I would say
I feel bad about it now.
I have just a little piece of paper. When I first started at ESPN, I got Field Yates autograph.
Stop.
A little piece of paper.
Yeah.
I would grab that.
Wait, but I did the 8x10 photo last year. Did you not?
Oh, no.
Did I mail it to you? Did it not get there?
I sold that on eBay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, those go for a pretty good money.
You know what's weird is that I constantly check my own name on eBay, and I actually bought that.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, so I was trying to figure out why it looks so familiar.
You wanted to get your, everything a Field Yates just sells. Like, we got it.
That's
the pricing.
Yeah. All right, now it's time for AI-generated fantasy insights built with IBM Watson X. Today we are talking media darlings, players for whom the media sentiment has recently improved by a factor of 10.
Mm.
And Mike Clay, we're talking about AJ freaking Brown.
Yeah, baby.
He has looked so good for your Philadelphia Eagles. He's made Devontae Smith look like he's not even a part of that wide receiving core over the last couple of weeks. AJ Brown has just been fantastic. As you're watching him, as an Eagles fan, as the analyst, the projector for ESPN, how you feel when you watch AJ Brown?
I feel great. What an amazing trade by Howie Roseman on draft day. Remember they got him for first round pick. The pick was Treylon Burks. Just a home run call here, as usual by Howie Roseman. 125 plus yards in 4 straight games. First Eagle ever to do that. He has been incredible over the past month or so. Believe it or not, as good as he has been this season, still delivering mid-range wide receiver 1 numbers.
Yep,
he's 2 touchdowns. They both came in 1 game this season. So still room for growth in that department for AJ Brown this season. And he is going to be busy this week because guess what? The Eagles win a lot of games. They don't trail often.
Yep.
They're going to have to throw against Miami. So a chance for Brown, Goddard, Devontae Smith to get back on track. Well, not back on track, but to have a big game.
So I guess we could have led the show with this. Are you at all concerned about Quintoris Lopez being signed to the practice squad yesterday?
I adjusted all the projections.
For those unfamiliar,
it's all...
Julio Jones was signed by the Eagles, and Julio's real first name is Quintoris.
I swear to God, I didn't know who we were talking
about. I had no idea. Quintoris?
You got me. Yeah. Usually I know that stuff. But
Julio Jones' first name is Quintoris. His name is Quintoris Lopez Jones, and he goes by Julio.
There's so many names like that. Wow. Like Matt Stafford's not...
Right.
Yeah, he's John Smith. He's John Stafford. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Wait, isn't John Juju's, Smith? Yeah, I was going to say, Juju's is like completely unrelated.
What a great job by him. Well, yeah. John Smith or Juju Smith-Schuster.
Who did we just do this to with Field? Was it Antonio Gibson?
Antonio Pollard.
Yeah.
That one feels more obvious. But, anyway,
but yeah, no more, sir. For those that are wondering whether you need to bother with a waiver claim on Julio Jones, the answer is no.
It's not. The thing, though, as an Eagles fan, obviously I talked to my friends who are Eagles fans. We're like, you know, they are kind of sneaky team at the deadline. Yeah, they're very top heavy. And if they're last year, they were lucky that Brown and Smith were healthy all year, not to mention Goddard for most of the year. One of those guys goes down, that's like a quarter of the targets right there. And suddenly you're like Alameda Zacchaeus and Quez Watkins when he's back from IR. So kind of like the low key, take a flyer on 35-year-old Julio Jones.
It's costing him nothing. He's on the practice squad. There's a fixed salary there. So it's not like it's costing them much money. They have plenty of money to spend anyways.
I don't know if they'll be done yet. I threw out Zach Ertz yesterday as a name. Just add more.
Bring in Zach Ertz back.
Zach Ertz trending downwards in terms of snaps played.
Trey McBride outsnapped him for the first time last week. Mm. So kind of a name, you know. Arizona's one win, probably selling some parts, but they're a low key team. We know Howie's active in the trade market that could add another player at some point.
All right, we're gonna move ahead. But you're starting all your Eagles here against the Miami Dolphins, especially you just said, I think it's a great point.
Except for Quintoris.
They are not usually Quintoris. Trailing. This could be one of those games where they're gonna have to throw the football. Yeah,
the key five there. Actually, it's funny. This game, I noticed that I write the playbook. And I write the lineup locks, and then I write a borderline player. I write about that, I'd kind of swing you one way or the other. There were no borderline players in this game. Think about it. Every skill guy is a lineup lock in this Dolphins-Eagles game. Yeah, five for the Eagles. Literally. There's no other guys. Miami, it's the quarterback, Tua. It's Raheem Mostert for sure. It's Tyreek and Waddle. No tight end. That's it. They're, who else are we talking about?
13-10 game incoming.
Stop.
Yeah,
you know that.
Nine lineup locks from a fantasy perspective, and we're going to score 23 total points.
Also, not to be overlooked, the Eagles are wearing their Kelly Green uniforms on Sunday night. Yeah, I don't know. I really believe, and off top of my head, five of the greatest uniforms in professional sports history. Kelly Green Eagles, Orange Crush Broncos, Powder Blue Chargers, Seahawks throwbacks, Patriots Reds.
Those
should all be full-time.
I like the Bucks throwbacks.
The Bucks creamsicles, the Dolphins throwbacks. Those are terrific. Bring all of these back.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I just watched a video on the X of Tristan Wirfs telling Penny Sewell, he's like, hey, let me get that. They want to
make sure.
He's like, not this one. I got to keep this one,
that's
baby.
A good call.
Which was funny.
Anyways, all right.
All right, let's move ahead and talk about some tight ends. Field, I actually need you to lead this one off because I'm not allowed to talk
about
these two tight ends.
You're allowed to absolve yourself. All right, so Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith, the Falcons take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. And wouldn't you know it, Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts crack the top 10 for us this week. Well, Jonnu Smith's number 11 for you, Mike. So very, very close. And so, Daniel, if you want to chime in, please
roll the tape for Monday.
It's totally understandable and justifiable, right? So last time I'll say in the show, six teams on a bye. Not that there are a bunch of tight ends that you normally use, but there are at least some names that are not available this week because they are literally enjoying some vacation time, Mike. And just follow the numbers, right? Over the past 2 weeks, Kyle Pitts has been great. Over the past 5 weeks, Jonnu Smith has been great himself. Make the case against starting one of them would be my answer to this.
The case against it would be the matchup. The Buccaneers have been outstanding against tight ends. Fourth most tight end targets faced, but no tight end has reached 12 fantasy points. And check this out. So with tight ends, it can be a little high variance. You have to look at who they played, right? They faced T.J. Hockenson, Dallas Goedert, Cole Kmet, and Sam Laporta, and the Saints, who use a bunch of different guys, including Taysom Hill. So that's four tight end ones that they have faced, and they faced a ton of targets, and they have not allowed a 12-point performance to any tight ends yet so far this season. So that's my red flag here. But again, with so many teams on a bye and so many unreliable tight ends, they still crack my top 12. They're both borderline guys with probably limited upside.
I don't even want to.
We're done. Okay, we're done.
I still want all the Kyle Pitts shares. I'm still fully invested.
I'll tell you what. I just want to say this. I've got Jonnu Smith at 9.
Okay.
You've got Kyle Pitts at 9. I've got
Did we do a board bet Monday on this?
I don't know. I don't think we did on Monday.
We did.
I definitely
9/11. You can just look a straight up Jonnu Smith versus Kyle Pitts board bet.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Let's take that. Let's take this right now because I still am in on Jonnu Smith here. I think that Jonnu Smith scores more fantasy points in week 7 than Kyle Pitts.
I think Kyle Pitts scores more fantasy points than Jonnu Smith in week 7.
And I say Mecole Pruitt scores more fantasy points.
All right.
Let's get
it. Put that on the board.
Let's try it. Yeah.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Awesome. Love that. All right. Let's talk about Cole Kmet, too, because without Justin Fields, this one feels a little bit scarier for me. He was one of those guys that was sort of in that like back end of the tight end one conversation. Is he still there if Justin Fields does not roll on Sunday?
Yeah, I have him ninth for the same reasons I just laid out for the Falcons tight ends, which is there's not a lot of great options. Kmet had two really good games in a row. Last week, 2 catches, 9 yards. Of course, Fields left that game early on. I don't think Tyler Bagent looked great. He had 83 yards on 14 pass attempts and ran for a touchdown. It's just going to be one of them things like you start him, you're just hoping Bagent just looks his way a lot, just falls in love with him and throws it to him 6-7 times. But again, when you're ranking these guys, you get to that area and you're like,
how do you put
some, I guess I'll just go commit here because it's rough at the end of the tight end ranks.
Two things, and both very, very important. I have a team in which my two quarterbacks are Kirk Cousins and Justin Fields. And prior to last week, every time I played Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields went off. And every time I played Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins went off. Okay. So just to be clear. And then every time I played Cole Kmet, Tyler Higbee, my other tight end, had a decent enough game. And Cole Kmet completely busted. And then vice versa. So at some point during fantasy football now on Sunday, I will let the masses know whether I'm starting Cole Kmet or Tyler Higbee.
And we just fade it. And we fade Field.
Correct. Fade Field.
Just
second of all,
ban tight ends.
I'm actually glad we talked about this game because we have a tight end who is making a name for himself should be on your radar. Mm-hmm. Michael Mayer, second round pick of the Las Vegas Raiders, outstanding player during his time at Notre Dame, showing up more and more by the week. And if I'm the Raiders and I'm looking for answers offensively, because as I've said recently, the Raiders are now a defensive team who has a real shot to be 4-3, by the way, I want more juice on offense. Get Michael Mayer, big rookie number 87. He has looked the part and more over the past couple of weeks. Could this be that a tight end has worked his way into top 15 consideration just because a couple of good weeks? So if you haven't yet, or if nobody in your league has yet added Michael Mayer, love him as an add and maybe even start, but at least stash player for this week.
Yeah, this was another, much like Arizona, we just talked with Ertz and McBride, who was a second round pick last year. This was a changing of the guard for the Raiders. Austin Hooper had essentially been their starter to begin the season. He was phased out a bit last week and Mayer took control and had his best game by far. I mean, rookie tight ends usually aren't great in fantasy. That's starting to change, it seems like, especially with your guy, Sam Laporta. Kyle Pitts a couple years ago had a top 10 season as well. And when they are at least on the fantasy radar, even before 3 years ago, it was like they start coming on in the second half of their rookie season.
Yeah.
That's the case here with Mayer. So I'm with you because that is a pretty high volume pass attack. No Jimmy Garoppolo this week. That might be a mess, that game with Raiders and Bears, both without potentially their starting quarterbacks.
You got to figure Aiden O'Connell starts, by the way, right?
You think so?
He started the one game that Jimmy Garoppolo missed before. Yeah. And I know that after the game, Josh McDaniels talked about some like the protection issues and things of that nature. This new emergency third quarterback rule has sort of like blurred the lines on who the backup is on a depth chart at a given time. Because obviously when Jimmy G got hurt last week, Brian Hoyer came in and played fine, by the way, for the second half, enough to help them win over the Patriots. I think there's a chance Aiden O'Connell is back under center this week.
Okay. Yeah. I have no insight on this other than to say that Hoyer was the backup last week. And this is a team that will have a winning record if they win this game, and they might want the security of the veteran Brian Hoyer over the unknown day three rookie. So. Yeah.
I just want to say this, Field. It sort of made me, I threw up in my mouth a little bit when you were like, if the Raiders are looking for someone to, in order to get the offense involved, it's like, just throw the ball to freaking Davante Adams. Yeah. How about we stop ignoring Davante Adams and start giving him the football again?
You are correct. However, the only thing I will say is that if Mayer continues to develop, it's one more player the defense has to account for and one less body to throw at Davante Adams.
I mean, Adams, Myers, Mayer, and Jacobs.
Pretty good.
That sounds pretty good.
It's trying to get Trey Tucker involved. Yeah, playmaker, Tucker. Returner.
The only thing about Trey Tucker that I've noticed is that every time he's in the game and Davante Adams is not in the game, it's going to be a reverse of Trey Tucker. I noticed that. Like, every time Davante leaves the game, the camera pans to Davante on the sidelines. And I swear, it's like three out of the three times it's happened, Next play, Trey Tucker reverse.
That's the one thing about the Raiders is sometimes they're very predictable. I think this is a McDaniels thing because we used to see
this with
Amir
Abdullah on the field.
On the field, he has one carry this year. He had like a few all of last year. They pass every time Abdullah's on the field.
This was a fun show, guys. I love these Wednesday shows.
Me too.
Me too. Time.
Mike, I do want to say this. I don't know if people know this. Like, we don't just make fun of you when you're not here. We also make fun of you to your face. So that people don't think we only make fun of you behind your back.
Yeah, I was listening yesterday at the end. Of course, I put it on.
You texted us. Oh, my God. As soon as the show was over, Field and I got a group text saying, I heard that in all capital letters.
So rude. I tune in. I want to listen to this nice, pleasant show between two of my best friends. And it's just like, we don't like Mike. That's Mike, never bring him back.
Is this Mayor Snap, by the way, here, Paul, that you just sent me? How about this? 82% of the snaps last week from Michael Mayer.
Yeah.
2 weeks prior to that, it was 52.2% at season high, 82% and 22 routes run last
week.
Very
similar to McBride. Climbing. Big, big leap last week. So you got to keep an eye on that, especially if you have tight end problems. Right now, and like most of you do.
Problems, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Field and I are going to be back tomorrow, Thursday Night Football. We will preview that. We will do the Week 7 preview part one, which will be a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. Mike, we love you. Unfortunately, you can't be here for that.
I just dropped my water cup.
I'll be doing Friday, though.
Punter projection up
here. Hey, thank you for that. We love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Don't forget to love each other.
Water.
Be kind to yourself. We love you guys. We'll see you on Thursday.
Making a mess. I dropped my water, so I'm just rubbing it.
You're just pushing it farther, deeper into the carpet?
It's water on a carpet. Shouldn't that be okay, after a couple hours?
You would think so. Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, no drinks in the studios.
It's
breaking
not a
rules.
Drink. It's a hydration.
Thank you. It's a hydration mechanism.
Yeah, it's not a drink. That's what it is.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all